It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby is cooking.
Hello, everyone. Bienvenue and welcome to a Sound Kitchen flashback, a show which originally aired in 2012. Here we go. Hello everyone, Susan Owensby here. It's summertime, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, and the living is easy. Sit back and relax and enjoy the next few weeks of the Sound Kitchen special recipes. Today you'll hear part two in this two-part series on British painter Graham Dean. Last week, Dean talked about his series of paintings on Olympic athletes, which are now on view at the Victoria Art Gallery and Museum in Bath. Today you'll hear about his method and his materials. Dean works in watercolor on a very thick paper, which he often tears. It creates a really interesting effect.
Yeah, well, the paper's actually from India, and it's rag paper. I used to joke I kept a village going, because it literally is the mainstay of the village, this rag paper workshop, or paper making. I've only recently found out, and I've been using it for 20 years now, it's called Khadi paper, which Khadi, I think, is in Indian, is art paper, I think that's the right expression. I've only recently found out they're actually T-shirts. So they're Western T-shirts, or maybe they were made in India originally, went to the West, didn't sell, the ones that didn't sell, they've come back into India to be recycled. And it's literally, that's where rag paper comes from, that's the term.
Okay. Well, so, rag makes
yeah,
sense.
Exactly, so they mush them all up and make... So I thought, wow, that's a good idea. I should do something on T-shirts at some point, because it's like turning them back into works of art. Mm-hmm. And the actual paper is really thick. It's about thick as canvas. And you can't see it's radio, but you get muscles on your hands from...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's from ripping the paper, tearing the paper. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it really... Is it Philip? She's feeling my muscle.
And it's enormous.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just from, you know, tear... Because if I do this every day, all the big paintings are all... The paper's overlapped. So you've got layer upon layer upon layer. And I draw the images up so I've got lots of options going. And paint them that way. So there'll be several variations underneath the original painting. So I tear around a form. I might tear around an arm. I might tear around a leg. And I like these juxtapositions. If you look closely at them, you can see how they work. And if they did an X-ray of them, it'd be fascinating, because it'd be multi-legs, multi-faces, multi-arms all underneath. All in slightly different colours, slightly differently painted. So the technique's much more interesting than the painting.
No,
we were talking about this, but, you know, often I don't really like seeing labels attached to work, but I've started now to think, well, maybe people knowing this really helps the image, because, you know, it's a bit... This is why I've often referred to it as reverse archaeology, and that was actually said to me by an archaeologist at the British School in Rome when I won an award there, and it's the old style pre de Rome, you know. And he came into the studio one day and he said, "You're doing exactly opposite to what we do. We scrape away history and get down to levels." And he said, "You're doing the opposite. You're building these layers up, you know, these arms and legs on top of each other, bodies on top of each other." And that's why he referred to as, he said, it's like reverse archaeology. I thought, oh, well, I'll use that. That's a good expression. Yeah, thanks. So, and it's a very unique way of working. I don't think too many artists work the way I do like that. But this is only for the big works. The small works aren't like that. This is only for the big ones.
You've done some painting to music. How different is that from working alone in your studio?
It was fantastic. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I had done a couple of things for TV in different countries before this, that they'd actually filmed me working on pieces. And this is the first... And I'd also worked on films. I'd made films around this as well. And this is the initial kickoff, was a film with David Rhodes, who was the guitarist I worked with. And that was now 20 years old, that film, but it was way ahead of its time. And the director in Germany saw this film on YouTube, and that's how it came back. He said, can you do this live? And I thought, well, we'll give it a go. And also technology's improved so wonderful in a digital now, where you can actually project these things on screens and everywhere. But the first one we did was in a church, converted church in Germany, and all the images were projected around the walls and pillars and the ceiling, and it looked, as I was watching the watercolors go round the pillars, they were moving. As I was painting, the paint was moving around the pillar, and it looked wonderful, you know. And you could hear the audience responding to it. And I kept glancing up as much as I could and thinking, "Well, like that, you know." And it looked like stained glass colors going around, you know.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, but knowing I was painting them and doing it at the same time. You know? Oh, yeah. So in a way, you're creating a sort of a mixture of abstract shapes, but they all had a very figurative base. And so you might suddenly see a skeleton of a ship dissolve out of a body, a nude body. And I was doing these mixes, which are fascinating. And David's music was incredible because it's at times it's quite ethereal, and other times very odd noises, very strange noises coming in, and very contemporary stuff. But a lot of people said they found it quite moving and spiritual, which I wasn't surprised. I wasn't expecting that, I must admit. And then from then we went on to two outside festivals. That was a bit more rock and roll, that one. But they were interesting as well, but huge screens. Mutton Workers on massive screens. And it's great, but we want to do more. It's fascinating.
It is. It's fascinating. Yeah. It's an audience.
Yeah. Remember. And they took me out of the studio. You know, don't forget, this is a solitary activity, being an artist. And to collaborate with great people. And I had two camera crews on me because they were filming a documentary as well. So I had cameras everywhere, on top of me, to the left of me, right of me, underneath me. It's completely insane. I thought this could be far more removed from my normal life, and it's just me and the cat. You know, suddenly, you know, I've got lenses in my face.
How can you paint with cameras? It doesn't...
You get in, well, how about an audience? Not just cameras, exactly. You know. Exactly. You get into a zone. You really do. I forgot about them after a while.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because initially it's a little bit, ooh, you know, and then as soon as it kicks in and you're working, you're in a zone. And it's the same for anyone, like actors say that, and musicians tell me that as well. You kick in. Mm-hmm. You just kick in. Mm-hmm. And I had to then force myself out of it in a way to engage with David at times, or in fact just look up at the audience, because otherwise I felt like I was buried in the work. Uh-huh. And so I had to learn a bit of stagecraft there in a way. But it helps. If you're going to do something else, you need to have certain isms built into it. That's what it's about, after all. Mm-hmm. You know, so... absolutely loved it. So we're working on now for more of them for next year, maybe a tour.
Grounding, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's Sound Kitchen Flashback with Graham Dean. This program originally aired in August 2012. Talk to you next week, same time, same place. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, everyone.